Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Relax. Playing games till after midnight. Right? Have we had a good time?
Yes.
God is good, eh? We talked yesterday morning. Choose joy. We talked last night. Cultivate joy. Doesn't happen to us. We have to be active. Tonight, or this morning, it might finish tonight. We're going to cover the next two chapters of Philippians. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 7. I promise it won't be tonight. Verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles. But whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. If you highlight, those are good words to highlight. To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Yes. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're so amazed by your mercy and grace poured out to us, the resurrection life that we get to partake in. Our desire is not just to sit on the sidelines of what you're doing, but to be at the center of your purpose in calling for us. So, Father, help us to pursue joy, to not let it slip away, but to chase after you, to hold on to you, and to find our joy in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, choosing joy, cultivating joy, yes, yes. How do I do it? How do I pursue joy? How do I get this hard-to-quantify thing? Like, we were laughing yesterday. Is that joy? I got a new car, and I was pretty happy. Is that joy? I got a smile on my face, even though I'm on the side of the road trying to fix a broken tire. Is that joy? Right? How do we quantify this? Well, lasting joy, real joy, the joy of the Lord that is your strength is his letting go. It's releasing control, right? It's a surrender, a submission, and then it's knowing him. That intimate relationship with Jesus. It's that coming close. It's that I want to know you. I want to know your mind on every situation in my life. I don't want to pray for your will to bless what I'm doing. I want to come to know what you're asking me to do and do it. I want to know you that deeply. And then it's guarding this. The battlefield is here. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, this always happens. You find yourself saying that? Right? We have the battlefield here. What are you thinking? What are you seeing? What are you dreaming about? So we're going to look at a little bit of this. Here Paul says, everything I've lost for the sake of Christ. We have a world that doesn't want to give up everything. I want Jesus to be added to my life. You go back to the Jewish culture when Paul is going out to challenge and bring the hope of the gospel of Christ on his missionary journeys. What does he encounter among the Jews? Oh, they're happy that there's no more sacrifice. Jesus is our sacrifice? Awesome. I don't have to save money to go to Jerusalem to do the sacrifice. This is great. Right? But you don't have to do the law. No. Wait a second here. We're part of a covenant of circumcision. We have to follow all these things. And he's saying, no. If you follow the law, you got to follow it all. You don't get to pick and choose. Right? And it comes to Christ and people want to pick and choose. I want Jesus to save me from my sin, but I want to keep following my desires. I want to do what I want to do and say, Jesus, bless it. My friend, that doesn't work. We can't lay out our plan to God and say, bless it. We got to say, it's not my plan anymore, God. This life I live is not my own. We celebrate baptism. Yes? Once in a while? Okay. We like to celebrate baptism. We get excited because what is it saying? There's new life. What does that mean? You're joining Jesus in death. Participating in death. The old nature is dead. And then somehow we just want to resurrect it a little bit and think it's not going to taint our life. You resurrect that thing just a tiny bit. Boy, is it insidiously wicked. And we think, like, I'm a new creation, but I'm still, like, just dabbling in sin. No, put it to death. I join with Christ in death. Let go. Right? And then we fast forward to Romans 8. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he lives in you. What does he do? He gives life to your mortal body. Your physical body is empowered by the Spirit of God. You want to have joy? It's empowered by God. It's this life, this physical, frail humanity that is now quickened by the Spirit of God. So, wow, come on, man. I can live here right now with the Spirit of God inside of me, giving me power, giving me understanding, giving me vision, clarifying things for me. I want that. You want joy? You want to pursue joy? Letting go. All the accomplishments you have, I'm sorry, you're nothing. Paul says, I become nothing. My achievements, my credentials, my successes, they all build up the old nature. Am I right? Make me feel pretty proud. I'm a big guy. No. It's all rubbish. For the sake of knowing him. And so I let go. And if we're going to pursue joy, if we're going to have this vibrant life of God's empowerment, let go. Let go. Release it. Your accomplishments, even in the faith, are not your accomplishments. It's him. We serve a God who has brought resurrection power to our lives. So Paul says, we join with Christ in death. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I die daily. Ooh. We kind of want it, like, I died once. Now all this success is kind of cool, and I can float on the clouds, and I can be a powerful. No. I die daily. Don't allow ourselves to think, okay, I've got this new life, and now I can go back to controlling things. I got to let go. I got to trust God. And we step into these moments of trusting God. Terry and I were sharing last night a little bit of our journey. Just this last season of where we're at today. And there's, you know, people, everybody has the best intentions to tell you what to do, right? you need to do this. You need to do that. And Terry and I are sitting there. No. We talk to each other. We're praying together, talking about what. No, like, we can't do that. And the statement that continues to come back, locked into my heart, what God started by the Spirit, don't try to finish in the flesh. Because that's our tendency, isn't it? We think we heard from God, so now we're going to work to make it happen. And we all know we're clever enough, we're smart enough, we're strong enough, we've got enough. But the reality is God wants to do something beyond what you could ever imagine. Beyond what you could imagine. Can you believe the joy of God doing something you can't even imagine? It's just like, what would that even be? And we can't comprehend it. And so we just say, okay, I'm letting go. I'm not trying to control the outcome. I'm saying, Jesus, I'm holding on to you. I'm coming along for the ride. And man, it is a ride. We were talking last night and somebody, Michelle, came up to Terry and was like, do you know how hard it is to get into that school? And we're laughing because we're saying, you know, like, you're seeing a big miracle of the school. And we're just thinking, like, just look what God did. Like, this is kind of cool. And we're thinking of the other things that are big, but your experience is like, no, you guys didn't focus enough on how big that was. And we've watched God time and again do things that we start to realize living in the miraculous power of God is the normal, not the exception. And so Michelle's comment to Terry, like Terry comes to me, oh, I was talking to Michelle and then she didn't finish the sentence. We got interrupted. And then I'm like, what was that? Oh, she was saying, do you know? And we were like, well, I guess it's like, no, she was saying like, this is not easy. It is so, and you start, wow. We just start assuming God's leading is normal. That should be our life. We're letting go. It's not what we can do. It's not what we can accomplish. It's this life. But like Paul, I haven't already obtained it. I want to know Christ. The power of his resurrection. The sharing in his sufferings. Kind of like the power of his resurrection. Not so happy about the fellowship in his sufferings, right? Are we together? Isn't that the reality? I'm really happy to know power of resurrection. But do we forget resurrection means death happened? Like, there's a pierced side. There's nail-scarred hands. There's nail-scarred feet. There's no resurrection without some pain. So if we want resurrection power, it's on the other side of those painful moments. But you look back and you don't say like, man, those nail scars are sure bad. You're looking back saying, he is alive. He is alive. Death has no power. The grave has no sting. We have no fear because he's alive. And we go through those moments and it's like, we can't see what the outcome could be. And so like Paul, haven't obtained it, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to know Christ. We're going to pursue joy. It's knowing him. Not knowing about him, not passing a test of the, you know, what seven statements did Jesus say in John? Those are good to memorize, by the way. That's not knowing Jesus. Know him when he said, I am the bread of life. What does that mean? Does that actually sustain you? Does this love with Jesus start to give you vitality? And you get up in the morning, you're not thinking about that beautiful bowl of cereal that's full with 17,000 calories. You're thinking about, like, I want to know him. I want to be sustained by him. I want to sit with my Jesus. Just have those intimate conversations where I can pour out my heart. It's a heavy day, it's a heavy week, whatever's going on. And you're talking to him like you share with your brother, your sweetheart, whatever. Knowing Christ doesn't mean everything's smooth. Doesn't mean every decision is successful. It means you're walking it with Jesus. Amen. I'm knowing his heart. I then know what he's calling me to, and he's bringing me closer. And do you remember, most of you that are married, do you remember when you started to date?
No.
You remember? No, it's a long time ago. I'm still young enough that I remember when I started to date this beautiful lady. And Terry and I mean, it's not that long ago, but it's a little while. Terry and I were in Edmonton. And I remember as we were, you know, walking through the legislature park grounds, right? And we'd go down there and we'd walk and we'd talk and we'd walk and we'd talk. And I was a very romantic guy. And so, yeah, not really, but... You know, when I asked her out, I asked her to marry me in the same time. And I'm, you know, hey, do you want to go out with me? She's like, are you serious? And we've been friends for a while. Her story would be she loved me for 6 years, then I caught her. So I'm asking her out, and she's saying, are you serious? I said, yes. Not looking for a girlfriend, looking for a wife, plan to mission to Ethiopia. What do you think? See, it's romantic, right? Isn't that romantic? And so she says, yes. Then I start saying, like, are you sure about this Ethiopia thing? And we're walking by the ledge, and I'm talking to her and talking to her. Are you sure? Like, are you really sure? Like, this is my calling. Like, if we step into this, we're getting on a plane. Are you sure? And we're going through, and she's telling me yes, yes, yes. And finally she's like, okay. Come to my apartment, and she pulls out a journal, a diary. And 8 days before I asked her out and told her my plans for her life, she had written in her journal of what God had said to her. Get ready to go. And it was like this showing of herself to me. Opening up what God had been speaking to her. I'm a pretty direct guy, you know. So she knew what I was thinking. And she kept saying, yeah, 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 yeah. And all of a sudden she showed me her journal. Okay. And the more you get to know, it's like, man, that love grows deeper, richer. Then you get married, you think, okay, like we know everything. And, you know, 3 months in, you're like, okay, I didn't know anything. And, I mean, of course, she has good habits. I'm maybe a little bit frustrating. This snoring thing she's not used to. This ability to fall asleep at the drop of a hat where she can't always fall asleep. And, the first couple of days that we're married, I'm gone. Like, literally in seconds after my head touches the pillow. And she's just... Because she's not sleeping, and then she would do these little sighs. And I would wake up. What's wrong? And she's like, I'm thirsty. And I'd run downstairs, I'd get her a cup of water, come back, give her a cup of water, she'd have a sip, and I'd go back to sleep. And those little quirky things that nobody tells you to think about, because how could you? It's like, okay, we get to know each other. And I can run down the stairs, get her a glass of water, come back, and go back to sleep. I'm not disrupted. She gets up and walks down the stairs, and as all that energy expelled, she's not going to sleep for another couple hours. Right? And all of a sudden, you start coming closer together, and it's not hard. It's out of love. Right? This joy of love and knowing and understanding. And that's what Paul is talking about with Jesus. I want to know him. Yeah. I want to know what he wants because that's what I want to do. Yeah. When Terry says, like, I want chocolate, I don't go buy her a bag of chips. Right? I might buy myself a bag of chips, but if she says chocolate, I'm not getting her something crazy. I know what she wants, and I want to do that for her. That's loving Jesus. I know what he wants. And it's not a sacrifice to do it for him. It's a love act. That's what we're called to do. Acts of love for Jesus. I know what he's asking of my life, and I'm saying, yes, here I am. I will do it. Knowing Jesus. The surpassing worth, verse 8 says, of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The value of knowing Jesus. It's beyond what you can comprehend. We can think of numbers and values, and we're pretty good with numbers these days, and we got all this AI that helps us, like, work with big numbers, and we think we're pretty clever. Can't calculate the worth of loving Jesus. Yeah. I want to know you. Yes, I want the power of the resurrection, but it's on the other side of the fellowship of his sufferings. Right? Yeah. Paul says, I haven't obtained it, but this is the one thing I do. Forget what's behind. Forget what's behind. This is a tendency for us, especially in the church as we get a bit older. Maybe you've been in the church a little while. I remember. I remember when. Right? I mean, God used to move in Canada. I remember when. Forget what lies behind. Those are past experiences. I want to experience Jesus fresh today. What's God doing today? What's God asking of us today? What's he leading us in today? Yes, there were some glorious moments in the past that's brought us here. That doesn't sustain us. Stories of my love with Terry don't sustain our marriage today. It's investing together. It's time together. It's talking together. It's walking together. We can go out and walk and talk about the future. We can trace God's faithfulness in the past. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, press on. That's what Paul's calling us to. If we're going to pursue joy, if we're actually going to capture it, we can't reminisce about these beautiful days of old and wish we could go back. We can't go back. I mean, you might have some exceptional experiences and memories, but I haven't arrived. We have that tendency, right? Especially as the hair gets a little bit lighter in color. Oh, these kids. Right? They just don't get it. These, whatever generation we got today. That's right. Preach it, eh? But what are we watching? What am I hearing from coast to coast in Canada? These 18, 19, 22, 25-year-olds getting saved, getting baptized, getting set free. This miraculous moving of God's Spirit across this nation. It's not what we had before. It's something new God wants to do. Amen. Regardless of what fellowship, denomination you're part of, God is at work. We're saying, come on. Come on, Lord, we want to see your work today. Lead us. I'm forgetting what's behind. I'm pressing on to what's ahead. I don't know what the next season holds, but I'm going to hold your hand. Let's go. Yeah. I'm coming with you. Amen. I'm pursuing joy because it's found in Jesus. Amen. Do you find yourself sometimes getting stuck? See, I get stuck when I look back and I really want that. And I look ahead and I kind of want that. And it's like, how do I get both? You ever had that experience? The last couple of weeks, there's been some track meets in Strathcona County. And Bethany's on this relay team. And so their relay team did really well. But as we're watching the relay, we're watching these different handoffs. And some people run right up and stop. And then somebody else takes it and they start running full out. But when they stop, you've got this break. And these transitional points of a relay race are like our transitional seasons of life. And some people just get stuck in the transition zone. yeah, give it to me. Kind, right? What we have to do is forget what lies behind. No, I'm going forward. I'm not waiting for something. I'm not waiting for God to do something. Sometimes we say, like, let's be like Gideon. Let's get our fleece out. Let's put it out and see what God does. And we love to use the framework of fleeces. Can I tell you something? That's not for the people of the Spirit of God. That's for people who don't have a relationship with God. God, just do something out there. Is that too strong? Again, maybe I don't know the Canadian world. A fleece is something apart from you. We are people who are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Yeah. We're not waiting for God to do some movement out there to align the stars. He comes and gives life to us, and we know Him. So we can hear His voice. We start discerning the difference. We start walking it out. Then so we're pressing forward, not looking back. We're going forward. And the words of Paul are amazing. Straining forward to what is ahead. Straining takes a bit of energy, takes some zeal, takes some commitment. And then he says this in verse 14, I press on toward the goal. I'm going towards the goal. What's the goal? Jesus Christ. I want to know you. I want to go on towards the goal. I want to win the prize. Again, I love going to track meets. Because in 100 meter sprint, right? Most exciting event in track and field. In 100 meters, you watch people just give it all. And we're at this track meet, and we're watching these grade 9 boys run a race, and one of the young lads from the school, his shoe came off. And he's still running. Because you're all in. You don't care about the shoe. The shoe is a tool. I care about the prize. That imagery struck me. That's how we have to win. If we're going to win, it's putting aside all those things that can distract. Oh, my shoe came off. Let me go back. Sorry, he lost the race. And we get distracted sometimes. Ethiopia is famous for long-distance runners. And so we talk about the marathon. In Ethiopia, everybody is running all the time. All the people who look like me are slow plodders. So when you go out to run, they come alongside. You know, you could do this better. You could do this better. I could do a lot of things better. You shouldn't run here, you shouldn't, you know, they got all the suggestions. But one thing I watch, as I watch the runners training, they're not reaching for their water bottles all the time. They're not reaching for their gel packs. They're running the race. If they get some water, and off they go. And sometimes we get distracted by the water station. Oh, what kind of water do you got? Do you have some coconut water? Do you got some vitamin, mineral, sparkling water, flavor water? Is there sugar? We get distracted, right? We get distracted in life by those things that are not primary. They're just part of the journey. They're not our destination. They're not the goal line. We don't run the race for the water station. We don't run the race to get a little gel pack. Okay, now I'm running the race. I won. No, we run to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. To be like Him. Yes. To be formed in Him. I get excited when I think about this opportunity to pursue joy. Because when we let go, it's a bit terrifying, but there's nothing better. Like, I couldn't have planned the school option. I'm not that smart. Okay. I didn't know it was complicated to get into. Don't agree too fast, Len. We have these challenges. And I was thinking, you know, we could apply, like, right before school starts. No, you have to apply in February. And then you go through a lottery system. What? You see, just not that smart. And then what happens? God's like, hey, just relax. Love me. pursue me. Fulfill your calling. Walk with me. Be diligent with those that God has called you to serve. And just, okay? And then God starts orchestrating things. And you stand back, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then Michelle tells us, it's not a little miracle, that's a huge miracle. Thanks, God. Like, I don't even realize how many miracles God is doing in our life. Sometimes we forget. God's been doing miracle after miracle after miracle. Yesterday we talked about grumbling and complaining. It's easy to point out what we think he didn't do and overlook what he's already done. We see God is doing amazing things. If we jump ahead to chapter 4, verse 4, I want to read up to the end of verse 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's what Paul says. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Whoa. Now we're finding out where joy runs into a problem in our life, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We could stop there for the next couple hours, but I promise I won't. Finally, brothers and sisters, highlight this portion. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So if we're going to pursue peace, we have to guard what we're thinking about. Guard your thoughts. How do you guard your thoughts? I remember when I was a kid, there was this Christian rock music coming out. I don't know if any of you remember that. Like Allies and Petra. Yeah, it was bad music, I know. And the statements that would be said in youth group was, garbage in, garbage out. Yeah, some of you, you're my generation. We heard that all the time, and that rock music, right? Okay, maybe. Yeah, okay, thanks, Jerry. You were with me. Oh, this is like that crazy stuff. That guitar and those drums and... Everybody got worked up. Some of you think it's really funny. But my dad, I had this Petra Beyond Belief. I think it was 1991. Yeah. And that album was like this kind of opening up of the church to that. And my dad was like, hey, what's that? My dad's a very soft guy. Yeah, you know. And so I'm playing it. Like, no, like, look at the words. You remember the cassettes? And then you open up the cassette fold and it's got all the lyrics inside. So I like, the music's playing. Dad, like, read this. Love is patient. Love is kind. No eyes of envy. True love is blind. And on it goes. Right? Do you remember that? There's a higher place to go. No, it wasn't said like I'm saying it because they had some. But all of a sudden, my dad was like, okay. Okay, it's good. Just, you know, make sure you stay in the lines and stay in boundary. What are you thinking about? What are you putting in? Yeah. Sometimes we're like, I don't care what the lyrics are. Just, I like the music. No, no, what's going into you? So last night, I mentioned about, you know, chilling with Netflix is probably not going to refresh you. I guess it depends what you're watching. What are you putting in? What's going into your heart? Because it's shaping your thinking. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are the words that you're thinking about? You watch the hatred that is multiplying across our world. The division that's growing. Where's it coming from? Somebody's thinking about it. You don't wake up one morning and all of a sudden flip 180 degrees. There's this process. Start thinking about things. Start thinking about things. Start thinking about things. You start working to pursue whatever you're thinking about. And so Paul, quickened by the Spirit of God, he's saying, rejoice, rejoice. I'm going to tell you again, rejoice. Let your life be shown to all. Then he says, hey, if you're going to rejoice, guard what you're thinking about. What's true? What's noble? What's right? What's pure? What's honorable? What's praiseworthy? Think about those things. Ooh. But Jeremy, you don't know. No, I don't know. You're right. I don't. God does. Think about him. Think about his nature. Think about his love for you. You start going back and you start reflecting on what God has done. Start tracing the hand of God's faithfulness. Look at Enjoy Life. Hand of God's faithfulness. Right? 16 years? Approximately? 16 in a couple of months? I'm pretty good with math. It's amazing how God has been faithful. And we can think about all the bad things that we've seen in 16 years. We can say, like, look at this. Look what God's done. Like, this Alberta boy coming back to Alberta with his family after closing down everything in Alberta because God's called them to be in South Africa, plant a church. Oh, that's not the plan I would have had, you know, when we're really clever. Then you just watch the people God has brought in, the way God starts to build, the development of leadership, how God starts growing things. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? What's going on in your mind? Are you guarding your mind? Because what Paul says here, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You live a life of rejoicing. You live a life with the joy of the Lord. You're pursuing Him. You're chasing Him down. You want what is right. You want everything God has for you. I don't want the crumbs at the table. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want the best. I think about this promise to the people of Israel. I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, sometimes we just think like, yeah, milk's kind of good and honey's kind of good. Have you stopped to think about that for a second? Milk and honey? What is milk? It's the shortest living food. We have refrigeration, so we don't ever think about that. Fresh milk doesn't last. What is honey? Longest living food. Still has the enzymes alive thousands of years later. I'll lead you to a land with the shortest living food all the way of the feast to the longest living food. Everything I will provide for you. He's saying, come on. And we're saying like, hey, but what about this water station? What about this? And we get distracted from what he's provided for us. Come to the table. Yeah. Pursue joy from the milk to the honey. Yeah. It's all there. He's saying, come on. Come on. Come with me. Rejoice. Rejoice. Don't be anxious. Guard what you're thinking about. Yeah. Control your thoughts. Don't allow yourself to get caught up into all the trends of the day. People eating stupid things, trying stupid things. Oh, they're so entertaining. They're so funny. They're so stupid. They have nothing to do in building up your faith. It's not pure. It's not noble. It's not excellent. It's not worthy of praise. Let's move to what is. Take time to be in the spiritual disciplines. Be in the Word of God. Don't miss prayer. Don't miss times of worship together, the fellowship that we need. We're not meant to be alone.
Right.
We're meant to be together.
Amen.
Be diligent to fast. I know everything's available all the time, and we're just talking about a feast that Jesus prepared for us, but there's times to fast. Fast. See, I'm not sustained by food. I'm sustained by God. You are the bread of life, and I will come and be sustained by you. Times of confessing. Is there stuff going on in your life? Yeah, I'm just going to go deal with it, Jesus, by myself. Stop. You weren't built for that. Confess your sins one to another that you might be healed. Right? This is the community we're called to be a part of, where joy overflows. Why? Because it comes from the heart of Jesus. And Paul is laying out for us, pursue joy. Don't just sit back, okay, God, make me joyful. God, give me joy. No, let's go chase it. Yeah. Let's let go of our own plans. Let's pursue him. Let's run after him, forgetting what lies behind. Run on to the next season. Let's find Jesus where he's leading, and let's go together. And then guard this. Guard this. In a world that is corrupt, you shine like the stars. Can you bow your heads with me this morning? I want to start by praying this text over you. Father, I pray for Enjoy Life Church. They will rejoice in the Lord always. We'll pray it again, rejoice. Let their gentleness be evident to all that you, Lord, are near. Cause us to not be anxious about anything. But cause Enjoy Life Church in every situation with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present their requests to you. And God of peace, you transcend all understanding. Guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. And Father, we pray for our brothers and our sisters that what is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, what is excellent and praiseworthy, will be their thoughts. And that they will practice what they have heard and seen from your apostles. They will put it into practice. And you, the God of peace, will be with them. Father, we cry out for your joy. We don't want a moment of joyful celebration. We want a life of rejoicing. So, Father, we pray joyfulness in hard circumstances, joyfulness. In the joining with Jesus in suffering, joyfulness. In joining with Jesus in the resurrection, joyfulness. Father, stir in us the understanding of your call on our lives. For each one, what you have been speaking, what you have been stirring, what you've been preparing, even as they came to camp on Friday night, on Saturday, what you've been doing, come Holy Spirit. Lead us. Empower us. Give us a fresh life again. Quickened by your Spirit. Awakened and sensitive to what you're saying and what you're doing. You are so good. We love you, Lord. You are so good. And so we choose joy. We cultivate joy. We'll pursue joy. Because we are committed to getting joy in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. Where we are weak, strengthen us. Where we are frail and broken, heal us. Where there is a need for a fresh anointing, a new season, speak, direct, give wisdom and discernment. For the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.